WTF AM radio. And again, we'd like to welcome everyone here, most notably our candidates, Ron Bryce and Greg Wilkinson. We'd like to welcome everyone here that's at the Windsor Event Center itself, as well as those listening on the radio on the mighty 690 KGGF, and those tuned in on the Facebook page and watching the video and audio as well. We're again welcoming everyone here tonight, and I would like to turn it over to the president of the Coffeyville Area Chamber of Commerce, Candy Westbrook. And Candy will go over the rules, format, and just generally how we'll run things tonight for this candidates forum.
All right, thank you, John. So tonight the candidates are going to start off by flipping a coin here in just a minute, so they will know which order that they are going to start, and then that order will rotate after that. Each candidate will make a two-minute opening statement, which will focus on their reasons for seeking office and their experience and or qualifications. The candidates will then answer about five or seven, maybe more, questions if we can fit them all in. These questions were submitted to the chamber from the community in advance. They were screened for duplication, legibility, and suitability. Candidates will have 1.5 minutes to address each question. I will be your lovely timekeeper tonight, and I will be holding up cards to allow you to know what time you have left to speak. And when, of course, when we get to the last card, you need to stop. The forum will be followed with a two-minute closing statement from each of the candidates. And this format is question and answer as opposed to debate. So let's get started with the coin flip.
As Candy gets ready to flip the coin, again, we have our two District 11 state representative candidates here for the candidates forum tonight, Republican Ron Bryce and Democrat Greg Wilkinson. And we're getting ready to see who wins the toss. It is heads. Who won the toss, Candy?
Ron's going to the first one.
Okay, so we'll be starting with Ron Bryce, and as Candy mentioned, then to Greg Wilkinson, and then from that point on, we will reverse the order on each question. So we'll start with a brief opening statement. Ron, would you like to make an opening statement, please?
Yes, thank you. I just want to thank KGGF and the Chamber of Commerce for putting this on. I think it's wonderful to have a good crowd here on a nice Tuesday evening where you could be doing other things. And I especially appreciate the opportunity to be here as a candidate, a Republican candidate for District 11. I grew up in Montgomery County. I graduated high school, Field Kinley High School. I did go to medical school, pre-med medical school, while I worked part-time at Coffeyville Hospital for 8 years and ended up in Texas. And then a few years ago, my wife and I decided to come back to Montgomery County because we wanted to work on restoring old houses, and so we've been busy restoring old houses. We've been restoring downtown properties. We started Coffeyville Coffee Company to celebrate the historical figures in the area. We have been involved in starting a new restaurant coming soon. It's ice cream and pastry. So we've been involved in economic development. I'm on the College Board of Trustees. I'm on the Chamber of Commerce Board. I am also helping restore the Midland Theater through the Midland Theater Foundation. And so when this opportunity came about a few months ago and I saw that Jim Kelly was retiring, I thought this was a great way to extend and continue what we've been doing to try and make Montgomery County in Southeast Kansas a great place to raise a family, to start a business, to work, to pursue your God-given dreams. And so that's why I'm doing this. I want to help people pursue their dreams of entrepreneurship. I'm very big on cutting the taxes that impede people in that area. I'm very big on cutting red tape and the opacity of the state government that sometimes is not as helpful as they should be in helping people to start businesses and thrive. And so I'm doing this for the main reason is to help our children, our grandchildren, have a prosperous and future. And I encourage you to vote for Ron Bryce on November 8th.
And again, a reminder to our listeners on the radio, as well as those on watching the video as well on Facebook Live and online, that that was Ron Bryce, the Republican candidate for the District 11 state representative seat. Now we go to Greg Wilkinson, the Democratic candidate for the same seat. Greg?
Well, thank you guys for having me as well. Thank y'all for being here. I was going to tell y'all what inspires me. My mother's mother always wanted to be part of the solution, but at 8 years old, she was stricken by polio, but yet she still graduated from college, and by the end of the war, she was director of the American Red Cross in Wichita. My mother graduated from the PA program and provided rural health care throughout Hayes, Kansas area, and then later on became a foster parent. For me, I wanted to fix things, so I became an aircraft mechanic. But the two issues that seem to be coming back is we went on strike twice, once to stop outsourcing and once to fight rising medical costs. And in 1999, I moved to Southeast Kansas, and when Big Brothers and Big Sisters came to town to start a teen center to start after-school programs for at-risk youth, since I was a little brother, I jumped at the chance to volunteer. And when I found out they needed to have sustaining funds, I founded a nonprofit organization. In 2006, when there was a nationwide teacher shortage, especially in math, I changed my major from engineering and became a high school math teacher and get my certificate in 2008. And I was cut short with an accident, but you know, I think my family has a legacy of being a part of the solution and, you know, not complaining about the way things are and just doing something about it. You know, I love Southeast Kansas, and this is just a continuation of me trying to do the best I can. I've got several proposals. I've started two businesses, and I love the scenicness of the area, and I want a chance to be your representative. I want to earn your vote.
Again, we want to remind those that are not here at the event center tonight, that's the Democratic candidate for the District 11 Kansas State Representative seat, Greg Wilkinson. And now we'll flip orders again. So, Greg, on our questions, we'll get the first question to you. You'll get the answer first and then to Ron. And our first question of the evening is, why should voters elect you and not your opponent? And we ask that you limit this to policy and approach rather than a biography, which pretty much you just did in your opening statements.
Well, approach is the thing. You know, I mean, what's the big issue is abortion, right? You know, do we trust our doctors and the women? So, yeah, that's the approach. Instead of making laws and, you know, the whole what would Jesus do thing, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of proposals I've already been working on concerning taxes. And, I think that what I've been knocking on doors and saying over and over again is I believe in the future, and that means I believe in public schools. I believe in infrastructure. You know, I believe in the youth. You know, we have such a great opportunity coming our way with all the private sector investment that's happened under Laura Kelly, all the debt that's been paid off. And so my approach is to all hands on deck. Let's get together. Let's get behind our schools, including the community school, colleges, and see what we can do to bring as many businesses to town as possible, bring them to Montgomery County.
Thank you again, Greg Wilkinson. And now, Ron Bryce, the same question to you. Why should voters elect you and not your opponent? And again, we ask that you limit this to policy and approach rather than a biography.
Yes, thank you. I think the policy and approach would come down to, we can generally divide politics into Republican and Democrat. There's a Democrat approach, there's a Republican approach. There's a red, there's a blue. There's a liberal, there's a conservative. And I think we do that many, many times in how we discuss politics. My approach is that we need to help people have freedom and the ability to pursue their dreams, and to not be hindered by an over-oppressive government, whether that's local, state, federal, that we don't need to be overburdened by taxes. We need to free people up to pursue their dreams. The other approach, which of course tends to be the Democratic Party approach, would be to more of a centralized tax and develop programs and the programs become bloated, and we all know what happens over time, the taxes go higher. I would have more of a conservative Republican approach to where I would leave those things up to the individuals, because I trust individuals much more than I trust, for instance, unelected bureaucrats or those that are consider them elites. And so I would encourage everyone to vote for people who don't want to consolidate power in the hands of a few unelected elite. Vote for people who want to have individual responsibility as well as individual liberty, and let people take their own risks and entrepreneurs take the consequences of their actions. Thank you.
Thank you again, Ron Bryce. And Ron, on our second question now, we'll flip it back over and ask that question of you first. And what are your highest priorities for Kansas your first year in office?
It's the economy. It's the taxes. Right now, we're living in a time that there's a lot of unforeseen things, a lot of potentially dark future economically for Kansas and for the nation because of overspending in Washington particularly. We need to have economic development. That's partly why my wife Lydia and our family have started businesses in this area. We want to see this area grow. We want to see it become a destination for people who to raise their family, to pursue their dreams as entrepreneurs, and to succeed and be prosperous. My agenda would include things like cutting taxes by looking at getting rid of waste and duplication of services in the state government. It would be, for instance, the legislature has already started to cut the grocery tax. I agree totally with that. I would hope to cut that even to zero even sooner than it is scheduled to be cut. I would. There's a proposal by Derek Schmidt, the candidate for governor, who wants to omit or reduce the tax on retirement income, because we have a lot of older people who retire and they move to Oklahoma. They go over the state line. We need to have people staying right here. We need to have an economically attractive environment so that we can develop and attract young people with families, with ideas, and new blood into the area. My time is up. I'm sorry. I was going to mention an article real quick. Virgil Peck had sent to the Chamber of Commerce today about we've lost 4,000 people in Montgomery County in the last 10 years. Population is dwindling. We need to attract people, and we need to attract people that are wanting to work and be responsible and fit in with our community.
Thank you again. That's Ron Bryce. And the same question now to Greg Wilkinson. And Greg, what would be your highest priorities for Kansas your first year in office?
Well, it's actually, I have some proposals as part of my closing statement. You know, the high property taxes, the delay of the sales tax, you know, just making a fair tax structure. I don't know if anybody saw that press release on September 26th where we talked about reducing residential property tax. And the talk about Derek Schmidt's elimination of the retirement income tax, it already is eliminated for everyone that makes less than $75,000. And you're adjusted, that's your adjusted gross income. So, and then they delay the property tax, they delay the elimination of the food sales tax, purely political reasons. So that's, you know, like I tried to make the point of trying to be part of the solution, and all this partisan stuff, these two amendments coming up are just pure partisan. They're kind of a disgrace to our Constitution, you know, and this stuff costs money. And, you know, my proposal would be let's all get together. And, you know, let's don't complain about the schools. Let's go to the schools and see what we can do to help. Let's have fundraisers for the schools. You know, I'm tired of every 2 years there's some complaint about public education. And then eliminating waste. And we have a $2 billion surplus. There's going to be tax cuts. Who gets them? Who gets them? Representation matters.
Thank you again. That's Greg Wilkinson. And again, flipping around, Greg, you'll answer the next question first. And that is, what do you feel is the most important challenges facing Southeast Kansas? And how do you propose to address those challenges?
Well, me personally, it's you know, getting everybody behind our public education, trying to reduce costs for public education, trying to get people to quit attacking schools, standing up for teachers. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Every 2 years, you know, something comes up. And that, and, you know, as Laura Kelly has shown, you invest in schools and infrastructure, and we can draw businesses here. You know, they want to see a quality of life. And, you know, the diversity of us all, and, you know, the type of entertainment that the Chamber of Commerce brought over the weekend, and, you know, just keep trying to include more people. You know, there's a lot of young people that miss out on what we got, what you guys have been doing downtown, and try to encourage more people. And it just feels like they feel, the kids feel like they're being pushed away by all this attacks on our schools. And, you know, and we have so much opportunity coming, and we have to get the people here ready to work. We're going to be able to draw jobs if we have the workers for them.
Thank you again. That's Greg Wilkinson. And Ron Bryce, the same question to you. Ron, what is one of the most important challenges you feel we face is here in Southeast Kansas? And how would you propose to address those challenges?
The number one issue is economics. And I've mentioned some of the things that I would propose to make this a more attractive area for people to move here. Part of the population decline is related to economic stagnation. My opponent mentioned education, and that also is a top, very top priority for me. I have recently visited all of the school districts in the county. I've talked with the superintendents, the staff, the principals. I've talked to teachers, parents. I've talked to students, because there's a lot of question about when I go door to door and I talk with real people and I shake their hand, one of the main things that they're concerned about, the voters that I see, is what are they teaching in the schools? You know, they're concerned about critical race theory. They're concerned about LGBTQ ideas. And so I wanted to see for myself what's going on in the schools. And I will say that I was very, very pleased at what I found. There, I cannot say that there is anything that I would say would be that I could detect where they're teaching that America as founded is evil and needs to be destroyed and critical race theory and so forth. That doesn't mean it won't come. You know, we look at the news and we see California and New York, and what happens in San Francisco tends to be here, you know, several years later. So we need to be on the guard against those kind of things. But I think as far as education goes, reassurance, the school districts need to reassure people and publish what they are doing, because there's a lot of misinformation about that. The school districts need to be fully funded, and parents need to be involved even more in their children's education, because that's really the parents are really responsible for the children, not the government or the school district.
Thank you again. That's Ron Bryce. And you both have mentioned education now, so we're going to ask a couple of questions concerning education. And Ron, the first education-oriented question we'll ask for an answer from you first, and that is, by law, Kansas is supposed to fund that 92% of special education costs that are not covered by federal funds. And it's currently being funded at only 76%, which means that school districts are having to pay more than $100 million each year above what they should be paying. What do you feel should be done to remedy that situation?
Well, that's up to the people and their legislatures. There's, for instance, last year, there was hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue above the budget. These things need to be allocated, and it needs to be prioritized. And as the special education is a great need, and it does need to be fully funded, but that is something the people decide through their elected officials, and then the elected officials can come back and be reelected or not reelected. But it's not an issue of so much of a bureaucracy making these decisions, but the elected officials.
Thank you again. That's Ron Bryce. And to Greg Wilkinson now, the same question. Greg, by law, Kansas is supposed to fund 92% of special education costs that are not covered by federal funds. It's currently funded at only 76%, meaning that school districts are facing to have to pay about $100 million each year above what they should be paying. What would you do to remedy that situation?
Vote to increase school funding. That's what I would do. You know, it was interesting. I was talking to one of the principals of Cherryville, and I asked him, you know, because Laura Kelly keeps paying off all these debts, you know, to the waterways and parks and highway fund and retirement fund that we incurred from the tax experiment. You know, I don't know if we really want to trust Republicans in charge. Just a track record, nothing personal. But, yeah, I think that every other government entity was paid back the money that was taken from them during the Brownback years. How come schools aren't getting paid back? And why is it a crime to more than fully fund schools? I mean, what is y'all afraid of? With all the economic opportunity coming to the state of Kansas, there is no better time than now. I mean, I'd start a program at the community college solely on supplier management and what we can do to bring jobs to Montgomery County.
Thank you again, Greg Wilkinson. And Greg, the second question concerning education, we'll ask you to answer first, and that is, how do you feel about using public dollars to send students to private schools?
I feel horrible about it. If you want to go to a public school, go to a public school. I mean, if you want to go to a private school, sorry, go to a private school. Don't stick your hand out. I mean, the biggest people always asking for money, if you've noticed, you watch the news, are companies, corporations. You know, and they all talk about freedom to do this, but they all want government money. You know, if you want freedom, don't ask for government money. And, you know, I have to say something about special education and Medicaid expansion. The number one reason, the number one people it would affect would be schools. The paras, the school cafeteria workers, the bus drivers, you know, all the single parents out there. If they were able to have medical coverage, it would make the whole society healthier. It would make our schools better. And we got to find ways to reduce costs. There's a lot of states have the school districts get their health insurance through the state instead of having their own. Each school district currently negotiates for their own state. Montgomery County has four school districts, you know, and there's got to be some savings we can do there. We could do it with initiatives through the state. We got to think long term and quit thinking short term.
Thank you again, Greg Wilkinson. And Ron, the same question to you. Ron Bryce, how do you feel about using public dollars to send students to private schools?
Well, I think our positions couldn't be any more different. I see education as focusing on the individual student, what the individual student needs. The Democratic position tends to be focusing on the teachers' unions and what they demand. And so my wife Lydia and I, who's here, we raised four children. They were all different. Some of them part-time went to public schools. That was great. Some we homeschooled for some time. We had a Christian private school, and we had it just depends on each individual child's needs. One of our children was a Division I NCAA athlete, and she needed to go to a school that wasn't a public school because it was the best basketball school in the state. One of our sons went to West Point. He was academically oriented and wanted to get into law. He's in law school now. He required a different school because of what he wanted to do with his life and his aspirations. So when parents are faced with they're paying taxes no matter what, no matter where their child goes to school, they're paying the taxes. I know this firsthand. We paid double tuition for schools. You know, when we would send kids to private school, we paid tuition there. Plus, we're paying property taxes and other taxes to send the kids to private school that we didn't even use. And so, to me, that's unfair. If you're looking at the individual person, and the parents being responsible for the child and the individual student being the focus, that's the mindset that you have. If you have the mindset of growing a bureaucracy of unions, teachers' unions particularly, then it's all about let's fund the organization, not let's teach the student in the individual way they should be taught. So that's my stance on that.
Again, that's Ron Bryce. And now our next question, Ron, we'll ask you to field the answer on this first. The Southeast Kansas economy and population continues to struggle. What policy steps do you think should be taken in Topeka beyond things like stimulus money and bailouts in the next year to create as many jobs and as much prosperity as possible?
You know, Ronald Reagan said one time that government is not always the solution, sometimes it's the problem. And I see that in economic development in a small town, in small area like Montgomery County. We've started several businesses in the area. We see the impediments. We have friends who've tried to start businesses. They've been impeded by bureaucracy. I call it bureaucracy, red tape, what have you. I see economic development in Southeast Kansas when we have entrepreneurs wanting to come here. They have a dream, they have a vision, and we are a place where they can pursue their God-given pursuits. And basically, some of the obstacles need to get out of the way. I know we need government. We need good, solid government. We need accountable government. But sometimes government is bloated. For instance, a few days ago, I was on the phone trying to solve a problem with a government agency, and I couldn't solve it online, so I called. I was on hold 57 minutes before I heard a person's voice, and he said, "Oh, wait just a minute. I got to put you on hold a minute." Well, he accidentally hung up on me, so I have to call and wait another hour to solve this problem. The state government should be customer-friendly, consumer-friendly, taxpayer-friendly, and all too often a bureaucratic system or organization just perpetuates itself, and the customers or the taxpayers are just a secondary thought. So I would be for a state government, state agencies in the government that were very, very easy to work with for entrepreneurs, people that wanted to come here, start businesses, and invest in the community.
Ron, I know you weren't on hold the 57 minutes to the IRS. It would have been much longer. Greg, the same question to you. The Southeast Kansas economy and population continues to struggle. What policy steps should be taken in Topeka beyond things like stimulus money and bailouts in the next year to create as many jobs as possible and as much prosperity as possible?
Yeah, I agree. You know, when I started the nonprofits, that's what businesses said. They don't want bailouts. They want customers. And, you know, I don't know what the long-term plan is about bulldozing these houses here in Coffeyville. And there's several housing projects, but part of it is, you know, our own fault, you know, when we have to be ahead of the curve on the housing. We've eliminated a lot of low-income housing in Coffeyville particularly. We suffer from blighted towns, and, you know, we've luckily had a lot of rising property values. But, you know, I don't think it's always fun to blame the government. And I can't believe with 30 straight years of Republican control of both houses of Congress in the state of Kansas, and, you know, 8 years of Brownback and 3.5 years of Governor Kelly, all of a sudden everything is just out of control. And just like he's upset he had to wait on the phone, but he wants government to cut bureaucracy. I don't know. The government's always too small until there's a pothole in front of your house. You know, I mean, that's why we need to come together and just talk through the issues instead of going through the same old talking points. You know, let's cut red tape. I mean, come on.
Again, Greg Wilkinson, and thank you for that answer. And moving on to the next question, Greg, you'll get this question first. What would you do in Topeka to combat the division between the two parties, which makes it so much harder to actually get anything done? How would you find common ground with your fellow representatives in the House and reach across the aisle to help accomplish something meaningful in our state of Kansas?
Well, I mean, during the Brownback year, there was a purge of moderate Republicans. So it's a problem up there. I mean, it's a real problem. In 2019, we had three former Republican congressmen come to our house to a meeting. And I'm kind of proud to say one of those is the Democratic Minority Leader of the Senate. And, you know, it's the relationships you built. When I talked to Michael Tom Sawyer, the Minority Leader of the House, and he asked, I've known him since the 80s, he said, what district are you running for? And I said, the 11th district. He goes, oh, Kelly's district. And about 20 Democrats all smiled, and they all like Jim Kelly, right? You know, and we can like each other and we can get along. But to do the talking points that I want big government or I'm for teachers' unions, I don't have a clue about the teacher union participation in Coffeyville or any other district in this town. Yeah, I'm pro-union. I work in the aircraft industry, you know. It's kind of necessary for safety. And the teachers need it, too. They're taking away tenure from teachers. They make it harder every chance they get. So, anyway, I would just, we just got to continue to talk and be out in the open about it. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind closed doors in Topeka. And if you elect me, a Democrat, because you don't know a lot of stuff that goes on because Virgil and all the other representatives around here are all batting on the same team. You know, so you'll find out a lot more about what goes on if you elect me.
Thank you again, Greg Wilkinson, and same question to you, Ron Bryce. What would you do in Topeka to combat the division between the two parties, which makes it so much harder to actually get anything done? And how would you find common ground with your fellow representatives in the House and reach across the aisle to help accomplish something meaningful for everyone in Kansas?
Yes, thank you. Excuse me. There are some things that you can find common ground on and some things that I will be non-compromising on. And one example of that would be I am pro-life, and because of my life experiences and my background, that will not change. It doesn't matter. I will not give up my pro-life stance. So that's not one that I would find common ground with a Democratic person in the legislature. I say Democratic because 100% of them are not pro-life. There are common grounds. For instance, I met with a group of Democratic women not too long ago while I was campaigning, and they were very angry with me about my pro-life stance, but I calmly suggested that we have common ground in other areas, such as school safety and things that can be done about these mass shootings that are happening, certain things that can be done about the government bureaucracy, like I've mentioned, or taxes. And they calmed down a little bit after they got over the fact that I wouldn't change my pro-life position, and they realized that there are some things that we can work together for because it's good for all Kansans. We'll disagree. We'll get, you know, no two people in the legislature are 100% alike. If they were, then one of them wouldn't be necessary. And so I will reach out. It's my personality to build bridges. It's my personality to build consensus. And but there are certain principles that you just cannot back down from. And so I'll keep those separate. Thank you.
Thank you again, Ron Bryce. And Ron, our next question, we'll ask you to field the answer first. Tell us how you would continue to the work that has been done in Topeka, or what new priorities do you feel you'd be focusing on if elected and go to the legislature in Topeka?
I think all that depends on who is elected governor. In my opinion, we desperately need to have Derek Schmidt elected governor so that we, for instance, Governor Kelly has vetoed multiple good legislative bills the last session, and some of them were overridden, some were not. But if we had a good person who was conservative, who had automatic conservative instincts on some of these things, I think it would be much easier for us to have a conservative agenda on the bills. But I do not apologize for being a conservative. I do not apologize for the stands I take. But I am, again, I am very amenable to talking with people who I disagree with. And I would be happy to discuss. It doesn't mean I'll change my mind, but I want to hear ideas. I like to make decisions based on logic rather than on emotion. And I think a lot of times in politics, we get so caught up in emotions that we don't realize that we're not making a lot of sense rationally. And so I strive to keep that in perspective. So thank you.
Again, that's Ron Bryce, and the same question now to Greg Wilkinson. Greg, would you work to continue the work that has been done in Topeka, or do you have new priorities that you would focus on if elected?
I mean, thanks to Governor Kelly, we do have some priorities to work on. You know, I keep reiterating it, but there is a $2 billion surplus. I can't stress enough is that I know I don't want to talk about abortion. You know, it seems like every time the Republicans get the governors, they think they're going to ban abortion. And, you know, do we have to focus on the things that we are divided about? Can we get, you know, to call me not pro-life? That's insulting to everyone. We're pro-choice. We're not against life. That's crazy. And but we're pro-life through the education throughout their whole lives. And, you know, I'm glad to find out that you're for taking funding away from public schools. And, you know, that you think that your choices should be paid for by the citizens of Kansas. You know, and the new priorities are making an equitable tax rates throughout all of the three legs of our tax base. And I'll save that for my closing statement.
Okay, again, thank you. That's Greg Wilkinson. And now our next question will field to you as well as first, Greg. And although I think we've already heard this, let's get a little more detail on it. What is your position on abortion? And what do you feel the law should be? Do you feel there's, in terms of outright bans, should there be limits or exceptions? And why do you feel that way?
Well, number one, the women spoke and the people spoke. You know, they said no. But, you know, just the statistics, if you go to the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, the last 2 years, 96.6, I think, of abortions have been done prior to 12 weeks. And that leaves 3.4%. And going through this debate nationally, we've heard all the different myriad of horror stories and all the possibilities of other things that could happen, you know. And the party of less government, I mean, does anybody want Chris Kobach investigating miscarriages? Does anybody read House Bill 2746? It calls in vitro fertilization murder. You know, I mean, this is the legislation they have prepared. So, you know, it's kind of like being misled by a bunch of people who are trying to be calling themselves pro-life, I don't know, in the name of God, but they're going to sit there and mislead everyone at the same time. So we're talking about a very small number of abortions. It's always tragic. Nobody wants an abortion. Nobody's pro-abortion. And I personally think, Ron, I would trust you and a woman in private consultation to make that decision. You know, and there shouldn't be any laws on the book about it. The ones we have are more than enough.
Thank you. Again, that's Greg Wilkinson. And Ron, Bryce, the same question to you. What is your position on abortion? And what should the law, do you think, be in terms of outright bans or any limits or exceptions? And why do you feel that way?
I am a medical doctor. I'm a physician. As recently as this week, I've discussed abortion with one of my patients who wanted to have an abortion. So this is a near and dear near and dear subject for me. I also have taken care of aborted babies who have survived their abortion. I've watched them suffer and die an agonizing death, and I don't want to see that happen. And I think the difference between my opponent and I is similar to the education difference. One sees education funding focusing on teachers' unions, etc. Other sees education focusing on the individual student and what's best for the individual student and pursuing their dreams. In abortion, I never hear a Democratic legislator, Democratic leader talk from the baby's perspective. I've seen the baby's perspective. I've held those babies in my hand. I've signed their death certificates. I've done everything in my power as a human being to save their lives. They need to, these people that we are destroying, we need to also see their perspective, not just the doctor and the patient, although, of course, doctors do consult patients regularly. But this is something that's deeper than that. This is the taking of a human life, and there are only certain conditions where it can morally be taken, and one of them is to save the life of another. Otherwise, taking a human, innocent human life in all civilizations throughout all human history has been immoral. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Ron Bryce, and let's see here. Ron, you'll go first on this next question. Kansas is one of only 13 states that lacks a comprehensive medical cannabis law, and one of only 19 states that still punishes simple possession of cannabis with jail time. What is your stance on cannabis reform in the state of Kansas?
Marijuana is bad for Kansas. That's my position. I, as a medical doctor, cannabis is built up almost mythologically is this great thing, everybody get high, or medically speaking, it's supposed to cure certain diseases. But there's a dark side, and I see that in the emergency room as recently as this weekend, treating people with psychosis, with schizophrenia, with hyperemesis syndrome, who especially the young people. You know, the marijuana joints that they have now, very different. I won't say I have experience. I don't. I have medical experience. But there are... When we were younger, a marijuana joint had a certain level of THC. Now it's multiple times that amount. And in the emergency rooms, we see these things. And I have to ask, when legislation is proposed, what problem are we solving by proposing this legislation? And to me, if we are actually helping people be lazier and dumber, if we are creating problems that the state can't afford right now. For instance, monetary tax revenue is always a reason people give for making marijuana legal, because it can be taxed. But one study recently showed that for every $1 in tax revenue that marijuana brings in, $4 the state has to spend on rehab, emergency room visits, schizophrenia, mental health issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not economically a good thing. It's not for the workforce. If we want, like we mentioned, workforce development and people working in Southeast Kansas, I think marijuana would be one of the last things that we would want to propose, especially for the young people. So that's my position.
Thank you. Again, that's Ron Bryce. And now the same question to Greg Wilkinson. Greg, Kansas is one of only 13 states that lacks a comprehensive medical cannabis law, and one of only 19 states that still punishes simple possession of cannabis with jail time. What is your stance on cannabis reform in Kansas?
Yeah, it's just another one of those things that, I mean, can we really regulate it? I mean, there's just like abortion. You're never going to completely stop it. You know, you're never going to stop everybody from smoking marijuana. And I remember when Governor Hickenlooper of Colorado said that on 60 Minutes or something. He said, it's not your grandma's marijuana. And, you know, there may be problems with that. I know in Washington they've got ways that police can test you right away if you've recently smoked. You know, it's always weird to hear these people say they're conservative, small government, and all they do is talk about more government. You know, let's, you know, more abortion bans, more, you know, Chris Kobach's going to have to double the size of his department or whatever, you know, to investigate all these abortions or whatever. And then, you know, and they're already talking about what are they going to do if that amendment passes in Kansas City, in Missouri, because they're just going to have open marijuana. You know, what are we going to do? Well, you know, we need to put police on the border. That one woman died in a hospital, I mean, in a jail that they pulled over because they saw her coming from Colorado because she had a little bit of marijuana on her. I don't know, you know. I'm a live and let live kind of guy. I guess you call me small government Democrat. You know, what we really need to do in this state is take the amendment process away from legislatures and give it to the people. Get amendments by referendum. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Greg Wilkinson. And our final question of the night, Greg, will ask you to answer first, but what measures do you support to improve and secure elections and voting access in our state and community?
I want to quote my fellow poll worker in Cherryvale at the primary of 2020, is that we need an app on our phone to vote with. And he's a Republican, which kind of was odd. I don't know, it blows me away when I see people in poor communities standing in line, and I know very many of the people in this room, if they had to stand in line for 20 minutes, Virgil Peck could get a call the next day. So, or Charlotte Scott Smith or whoever. And it seemed to me, I mean, the reason why I started being a poll worker was I so admired those women, usually older women at the churches that would always be there helping everybody vote. And it seems like a Christian thing, you know, where we reach out to our fellow citizens and we help them vote. And we try to think about ways that we can help them vote. Now we think about ways to keep them from voting. It seems un-American. I would do anything I can to make it easier to vote. And I would talk to county clerks like Charlotte Scott Smith. I know that now you have to register. I think the deadline is a week from today. So you have to 3 weeks before the election, whether she really needs 3 whole weeks, you know, whether people can register later. They took all the budget away from to advertise for Here Comes the Election, you know, where they used to advertise to get registered and all that stuff, the outreach, you know, because we all want our citizens to participate. And we all should want that. But why don't we?
Thank you. Again, Greg Wilkinson, and the same final question to Ron Bryce. Ron, what measures do you support to improve and secure elections and voting access in our state and community?
Thank you. From all indications, it appears Kansas has one of the more safe and accurate election systems, and so we can be very proud of that. I think the problem that there are obviously inconsistencies that have been well documented, especially recent elections. Most of it has to do with mail-in ballots, not necessarily in Kansas, but mail-in ballots, I think, are just a target for abuse and should not be done. Having an app on your phone to vote, I could see where that would be appealing to some, but I don't think that would be consistent with having fair and accurate counts of votes, because that could be abused with a, you know, someone in Beijing on a computer could flip the switch, you know. So I am an advocate of in-person voting. I accept early voting. I think standing in line, of course, is something that's distasteful, and I wouldn't want anyone to stand in line. So if we need more polling places, that's fine, but I think it needs to be in person so we can make sure the person who's voting is actually the person who's on the register. And people need to have confidence in their elections. This last election, even in 2016, when Hillary Clinton complained of the votes being stolen, I think people need to have confidence. If we don't have confidence in our election system, then how can we really be a democracy? So I think the best way to do that is in-person voting or possibly keep early voting. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Ron Bryce. And thank you to both candidates for the candid answers to the questions this evening. We will give you each 3 minutes for a closing statement, and we'll begin with Ron Bryce. Ron?
Thank you. I just want to thank, again, KGGF and the Chamber of Commerce and everyone here. I can't believe how big a crowd we got here tonight. It's an honor to be before you and with my colleague or competitor here. And it's an honor to be able to express, let me be honest for 1 second. It's difficult for me to express my opinions when I know other people are opposed to me, and that's my nature. So it's been a challenge for me, but I have learned to speak as clearly as possible what I really believe and what I really believe will be best for Kansas. I think economic development in Montgomery County, Southeast Kansas, is highest priority. I think the tax burden needs to be lifted. The red tape needs to be cut. We've been through it many times going through starting businesses. We need to attract entrepreneurs, young people who are coming here to raise their family, to start a business, to invest in the community and be a part of the community. The population decline over the last decade and more is very, very worrisome. We need to have a way of attracting people. I think Montgomery County and Southeast Kansas can be a magnet for people that really want freedom. They want to start a business. They want to follow their God-given dreams. But part of that is going to be make it attractive through decreasing the tax burden, the red tape, and making the state government agencies more customer friendly so that, you know, if you have a problem, you don't have to spend days and days or be on hold for an hour. You can get it solved quickly. I think that would be one way to really attract and retain people in Montgomery County, Southeast Kansas. If you believe like me, please vote for Ron Bryce, November the 8th. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Ron Bryce. And finally, closing statements from Greg Wilkinson. Greg?
Well, I'm glad to be here. And like I said, I enjoyed sharing this moment with Ron. I know that we do strongly disagree about a few things. You know, I just kind of get whiplash over the small government, but we want to do more for customer service, and you know, that there really is that much state red tape, you know. But you know, after all, the Republican control, the last time Democrats controlled the House was in 1992, and right now there's a supermajority of Republicans, and you know, the tax rate that was set in 1992 for residential property tax was 11.5%, and that press release that we had on September 26th, that we talked about reducing the rate of assessed value from 11.5% to 9%. The problem with that is it only reduces the burden on residential property tax from 54% of all property taxes paid to 48%. When the law was written in 1992, residential property tax was 35%. So what's happened? You know, I mean, we can say lobbyists and special interest, and who's been in charge? What's been going on? Why is there so much burden on residential property tax? And, you know, he wants to shift some of the money over to private schools. But anyway, also the income tax. It's 3.1% if you make less than $15,000 of adjusted gross income. $15,000 to $30,000, you're just 0.6% from the max tax rate. From $15,000 to $30,000, you pay just 0.6% less than the max tax rate. That's millionaires, right? And then they're talking about this retirement tax. So I'd like to expand the middle income tax rate. I'd like to lower it and expand the range for it. You know, I mean, the idea that someone's that makes $30,000, he's paying the top tax rate. And if he's making $15,000, he's just paying 0.6 less than the top tax rate. That's crazy.
you know, and then right on cue, our attorney general is going to court defending the bank's profits. I didn't know he was elected by the banks, you know, and it's just incredible. And that's why representation matters. With a $2 billion surplus, we need to adjust the tax rate. And who's going to be there making those decisions? You know, because whoever's been doing it hasn't been making it easy for us. Thank you. Vote for Greg Wilkinson. Representation matters.
Thank you, Greg. And I'd like to thank both of the candidates, Greg Wilkinson and Ron Bryce. You've clearly do have some differences between you, and we appreciate, as voters, knowing what those differences are and be able to make a choice on November the 8th. I also thank you for your civility. I think sometimes national politicians could learn something from local folks here in Montgomery County. You have differences, but you disagree in a civil manner. I want to also remind everyone we have another forum coming up this Thursday evening at 6 p.m. right here at the Windsor Place Events Center. We'll have the District 2 U.S. House candidates here, Jake LaTurner and Patrick Schmidt. So we'd like everyone to maybe join us again here at the Windsor Events Center or else on the radio or Facebook or the Internet online as well. So again, thank you to everyone and good night from the Windsor Events Center.